I remember coming to this country as a small child and playing with snow for the very first time. I had never played with snow before. I never experienced what snow looked like. I was probably 5 or 6, and I remember all the kids playing with snow, picking it up. And I come from the Caribbean islands, and the idea of snow was so new to me. And I remember plunging my hands in the snow. We're playing snowball fight, and I'm throwing the snow everywhere. And then everyone's running inside. You know, they have their gloves, their mittens, and my hands are freezing. So what do? I run and put my hands under hot water. Big mistake. I was trying to warm my hands, and my fingers felt in extreme pain. The water might have just been warm, but because my hands had just gotten under this freezing cold, it changed the way I experienced the heat. That's what we call perceptual contrast. The thing I experience now looks drastically different than what preceded it before.
This is The Deep Dive with Jose St. Fard.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. I'm your host, Jose St. Fard, and this is the podcast for leaders, dreamers, and change makers who want to make a lasting impact in the church, in business, in the world, and of course, at home. Today, we are talking about something that most leaders deal with, but often don't talk about: perspective. If you're someone who leads, if you're someone who carries vision, if you're someone who has influence, if you're someone who holds an organization, a family together, this podcast is for you. And this is the most important thing you need to understand today, that perspective matters. Your perspective on what's happening in your family, what's happening in your business, what's happening in your organization, what's happening in the community that you're building is so important. The lens through which you're seeing things, how you are seeing things, will change and shift how you move forward. I've learned this in my own life. Perspective is not just how I see something, how I view the circumstances around me, but it's the lens through which I see it. It's how I see it. It's not what I'm seeing, but how I'm seeing it. Every leader faces this at some point in their lives. The way they see things will determine how much energy, what motivates them to continue, what keeps them going. I've learned this the hard way in my own life. And today, leader to leader, I want to share with you what I have learned in my own life. Leaders often get discouraged by what's happening around them, how they view what's happening around them. Often discouragement grows louder and the motivation to continue grows weaker. Often the voice of critics, the inner voice in our own minds, the voice of those around us who think they can do it better, the voice of those who are comparing you to someone else, the voice of those who are discouraging you can get louder, and that's where burnout happens. Perspective is the difference between leading from pressure and then leading from purpose. And so today I want to make sure that your perspective is secured and anchored in your calling rather than in your critic. I want you to listen to your calling rather than your critics. There's a psychological concept called perceptual contrast. I remember coming to this country as a small child and playing with snow for the very first time. I had never played with snow before. I never experienced what snow looked like. I was probably 5 or 6, and I remember all the kids playing with snow, picking it up. And I come from the Caribbean islands, and the idea of snow was so new to me. And I remember plunging my hands in the snow. We're playing snowball fight, and I'm throwing the snow everywhere. And then everyone's running inside. You know, they have their gloves, their mittens, and my hands are freezing. So what do? I run and put my hands under hot water. Big mistake. I was trying to warm my hands, and my fingers felt in extreme pain. The water might have just been warm, but because my hands had just gotten under this freezing cold, it changed the way I experienced the heat. That's what we call perceptual contrast. The thing I experience now looks drastically different than what preceded it before. In another example, there's in the book Influence, the author tells of a story of a college student who writes wants a letter home to her parents. Her issue that she's wanting to share with her parents is the status of her grades. She starts off the letter saying something like, "Hey, mom and dad, it's been a long time since I've spoken to you. It's been a long time since I've written to you. I'm sorry. Let me catch you up now." And she talks about how her legs are feeling a whole lot better after she broke her legs jumping out of her college dorm room because there was a fire. And as she jumped off the fire, she had to spend some time at the hospital, and the person who witnessed this nice young man offered her his house to stay in, and then she had moved in with him, and things were getting better, and because she had moved in with him and he was so nice, even though it was just a basement apartment, things were doing pretty well, and they couldn't wait to get married. They were engaged, and after, because they're engaged, and they didn't want to get married right away because they're waiting for their baby to come. And yes, she is pregnant. And in this letter, the parents, you can experience what the parents are thinking and feeling. Wow, yeah, she's pregnant. She's moved in with some guy. We sent her to college. What's going on? Her legs are broken. And she goes, "Oh, the headaches are getting better." And now the only thing is, we would have gotten married sooner, but he's caught an infection and I've caught that infection too. Can you imagine what the parents are going through in this moment? Can you imagine what they're feeling? Can you imagine what they're thinking? They've sent their daughter to college, and here is the news that they received. And then towards the end of the letter, the daughter says, "By the way, mom and dad, there is no boyfriend. There is no engagement. I'm not getting married, and I'm not pregnant. I haven't broken my leg. There was no fire. All that has happened is, I must tell you, I do have a D and a F in my college classes. I do have a D in some college classes." And he said, "I wanted to share that with you in the right perspective." What has the daughter done? That D, if she had just says, "Hey, mom and dad, I got a D in class," the whole world would have looked horrible. "We sent you to college. You're failing classes. You're not doing well." But after she had stated this incredible story of being married, being pregnant, catching an infection, all of a sudden, that D looks great. It's perspective. And this is what kind of thing that helps every leader: having the right perspective. Imagining what you think you're going through might not be as bad as you think it is. Just because to you it feels like the world is falling apart, someone might be praying for the exact conditions you're living in. Paul in Philippians 4, verse 12, he says this: "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." Paul is saying, "I've learned the right perspective. I know what it means to be content no matter what I'm going through, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." He says, anything I'm going through, I go back to the right perspective. No matter what I'm going through, I can do it because I have Christ with me. I have Jesus with me. Perspective determines your leadership reality. Perspective determines how real things are for you. Two leaders can face the exact same situation. For one, it's a crisis. For the other, it's an opportunity. Leaders had to experience this during the global pandemic. There are some leaders that were driven by the chaos, who saw the chaos as an opportunity to redefine their business, redefine their organization, redefine their church, redefine their community, who took that time to look at what are the opportunities that are in this crisis. And every leader needs the right perspective to be able to see crisis as opportunity. Most of us do not lead based on what we see. Most of us lead on how we see it. Listen to me. Most of us live our lives not just based on what we're seeing, but it's how we are seeing it. How we're experiencing it is what determines how we move. Every leader faces two traps. One is an overestimation of who we are. I'm doing better than I actually am doing. It's in lack of awareness where we don't really see how we're being experienced by others. The other is an underestimation. I'm failing more than I actually am. And that's when the negative self-talk comes into our lives. And that's why we need those around us who can come and encourage us and remind us who God has said we are. And that's what I hope to be for you. I hope to be a voice that says, remember your calling. Remember that God has said, I will be with you always. Remember that God has not left you alone. Remember that God has already called you beloved. You are not alone. Your performance is not an indication of your identity. It is not what you do. It is who you are that makes you lovable. God has already declared you as beloved. So as you lead your family, as you lead as parents, as you lead at work, as you lead in the church, as you lead organizations, remember who God says you are. Have the right perspective on what's happening around you. What's happening around you has nothing to do with who you are. It is what's happening around you. It is not about you. It is happening around you, but it's not about you. Seeing things the way God sees them will save you from self-sabotage. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha's servant is standing next to Elisha, and he sees that they are surrounded by an entire army, by a foreign army. And from his perspective, from the way he sees things, in his mind, we're finished. We're cooked. It's over. Game, set. And he's sitting there and he's about to lead out of that anxiety. He's about to move from that perspective. The game's lost. We've lost. The war's over. We're surrounded. There's nothing we can do. Oh, woe is me. How many times as leaders do we live in that perspective where there's nothing I can do? It's over. There's nothing that I can't get out of this. I've tried my best. I can't do it. I might as well quit. I might as well leave. I might as well stop. It's not over. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing things from your perspective because in your mind, you could do something about it in the first place. The best thing about being a faith leader is knowing that you are not the one leading. God is leading. You are not the one in control. God is in control. You are not the one in charge. God is. This business is God's business. This child is God's child. This company is God's company. This community is God's community. You are not the center that's holding things together. God is. And so Elisha, as he looks over, he's calm. He's at peace. And the servant is sort of looking at Elisha like, do you not see what I see? Is it not clear to you that this is over? And Elisha looks at him and almost with some sympathy starts praying for him. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes so he can see what you see. When Elisha's servant's eyes are opened, he realizes that the army surrounding him is itself surrounded by the army of God. Can I encourage you today to let you know that while you're saying we're finished, God is reminding you you're not alone. While you're saying it's over, God is saying we've just begun. While you think you're surrounded, your enemy is the one crippling, and your enemy is the one who's afraid. While you think this company is finished, this community is done, this person doesn't like me, there's no influence, no power that I have, you have to understand you are not alone, my friend. You at home, you're not alone. You're not parenting alone. These children aren't just yours. They belong to God. God is with you in this moment. Leader, friend, let me remind you, have the right perspective. What you are seeing is not the end of the story. It goes back to perceptual contrast. In the beginning, this man, Elisha's servant, is looking and he's going, man, we're done. We're finished. We're surrounded. But then he sees the army of God. He sees the army of God surrounding the army that's surrounding them. And now he's going, whoa, they're cooked. They're finished. It's over. And my prayer for you today, leader, is that God would open your eyes to see you as God sees you, beloved. To eliminate the negative self-talk. To lower the critique, the voices of discouragement that have been around you. That God would send you some Jonathans who had to remind David who he is and what God had in mind for him when David was discouraged by Saul, who kept persecuting him. My hope for you, leader, is to remind yourself that you are not alone. Perspective, to wrap up, perspective isn't pretending that things are okay. It's knowing that God is able to make them okay. Perspective expands a leader's capacity to see what's possible. You start seeing options you couldn't see before. You start seeing God's hand where you thought he was absent. You start seeing strengths instead of only weaknesses. You start seeing people not as the problems to solve, but as stories to understand. Perspective shifts. In my own life as a leader, I've remembered times when leaders have come to me upset, frustrated, perhaps not happy about a way something's going. And often I take that on and I absorb it as if it's about me. I've learned as a leader to go, what's happening in their own lives? What's happening in their story? Maybe this is a story I need to understand instead of a problem I need to absorb. So what do we do with this? Here are some practical next steps. I want you to do a perspective audit. Take some time and look at what's happening. What are the circumstances that are surrounding you? And ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself, what am I seeing right now? How am I interpreting it? Take a time to look inside. And what assumptions am I making about what's happening? And then, is this interpretation rooted in faith or rooted in fear? Then I want you to take that and reframe it around what God has said in Philippians 4. Remember, I can do all things through Christ. This is possible. This is not something that's come to stop me. This is, in fact, something that's come to accelerate me. There is something beautiful in this. God is with me. He is not going to let me deal with this by myself. In fact, before it came to me, it had to go through his desk. Remember, you're not by yourself. And his strength is with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God doesn't move us away from the situation. God steps into our situation. So remember that. Now reframe what you're seeing and remind yourself that you are not alone in this. God is with me. And then I want you to think of Create your Jonathan list. Who are the people who know what God has called you to? Who are the people who are set on what God has reminded you to do in the organization, in the community, in your family, in this business? Surround yourself with them. Call them up. I had a leader said to me recently, I've learned to not just trust the voices in my head, but to trust those people who are for me in my corner. I would invite you, when you see your perspective shifting towards discouragement, call up a Jonathan. Remind them, let them know what you're going through. Let them remind you who God has called you to be, that you're not someone that Saul can kill. You are the next king of Israel. God has greater in store for you. This is not going to end you. This business is not over. You need a Jonathan conversation. So think about two or three people you can set a coffee date with or give a phone call to. Let them encourage you, because every leader needs a Jonathan. And then I want you to do this one last thing. I want you to do a lift up your eyes moment. Remember to lift up your eyes, or I should say a do an open your eyes moment. Pray the prayer that Elisha prayed for his servant. God, all I see are enemies around me. Open my eyes to see what you are doing for me. Thank you for listening to the Deep Dive Podcast. I hope this was a blessing to you. Please share this with someone else who might need this perspective shift. And as always, subscribe to our channel so you can be the first one to know when an episode drops. And please like and comment. We'd love to hear from you. Who are the Jonathans in your own life? What do you do when your perspective starts shifting? How can you help our community grow stronger? We need your voice. We are determined to build a community of leaders, dreamers, and change makers who want to make a lasting impact in the world around them. Thank you for being part of The Deep Dive.
This is The Deep Dive with Jose Saint Fard.